Can you get by me? I think it's a just off a bulletin. It's okay. Is that yours? Is that open? Oh, and neat cup. Good morning, church. Our opening is a hymn that is kind of an old favorite, and we're going to ask that we'll sit down singing it, and then we'll stand up maybe on the next one. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Psalms 146, 1 through 2, 5 and 6, and 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. And now if you can stand with us and we'll sing, Shout to the Lord.
Praise the wonders of your mighty You may be seated. You know, that song is 50 years old. And I love it. It's a great song. Thanks for singing it this morning. It goes right along with Jehoshaphat. Do you know that? Jehoshaphat? It was music that made the enemy retreat. Confused them. Learned that this morning with Lynn's devotional. So think of music is powerful, even when you don't sometimes feel like singing, or things are going on in your life where you go like, I don't feel like singing, I don't want to sing. Sing anyway. Sing anyway. Especially when you can sing unto the Lord, because the Lord will use that in making the enemy retreat. And sometimes we don't know what's going on in our lives, and it can be an attack by the devil. It can be attacked by the Satan as well. So remember, music is very, very important, and I'm so happy we've got good music here. Not to mention Bob Floss, who comes and plays a couple of songs before church gets started. And by the way, it reminds me, Bob and Lisa are grandparents for the second time. A little baby, do you want to know what it is? A boy or girl?
It's a boy.
How do you know that? It's a boy. You know what his name is?
Jehoshaphat.
It's not Jehoshaphat. His name is Griffin James, after Lisa's dad, who passed away when he was like 38. 39?
Middle
name
is, yeah.
Oh. Well, his middle name is James.
Name is
James. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was his whole name.
Griffin is just the name.
Okay, Griffin, okay. Wow. See, I never get things too quite right, just like I did last Sunday either. I said that Anna Moore's sister died, which was not true. It was her cousin. Makes a big difference. And so you can talk to her about that, but I'm so sorry for putting that in the bulletin and not mentioning it at all on Sunday. So sometimes now when you're going to read the bulletin, you go like, well, it says it in the bulletin, but it doesn't mean it's true. I don't want you to go to that degree, but I just put in there what I know at the time, and sometimes I don't always get it right. But anyway, just wanted to thank you for coming to Harbor of Joy today, and some of the announcements that are not in the bulletin are, you see up here, we got these wonderful coolers. They're donated to the church by Donna Thielber in memory of Chuck. And there's this kind of one requirement. If you want to use them, I mean, these are great coolers. This is like up there in the Yeti world. And I think these are at least, if not better, than Yetis. But the family just wants it, that members of the church can take them and use them wherever. If you've got a family reunion or something like that, if you want to use them, you have to sign out, come and ask the church secretary that you'd like to use a Yeti, and you'll sign out, and then when you bring it back, you will have to also sign in, type of a thing, or sign in, sign out, however that works. So I just see Amy when that time comes, or call her and make sure that it's handy there for you, and we'll get that taken care of. There will be no property committee meeting today because the chairman is on her way to Colorado. So there will be no property committee after church today, for those of you that are part of that. That's just something new that came up here this morning. Also want to let you know that Tuesday at 9:30 on Tuesday is a women's Bible study called Golden Fruit. Are you getting to the end of that Bible study?
We're going to have Esther.
Oh, go to Esther after that?
No, the study is on Esther, and I'd like to have all the ladies read the book of Esther before you come to Bible.
Okay, it's going to be on Esther. Read it before you come on Tuesday. So what are you doing today, ladies? Start reading Esther. And then, you know, then you can read some of it again on Monday. And then, no, you better read it all on Monday. Or you read it before you come on Tuesday. Finish it. But that's a good thing to do. That's for all the ladies that want to come. 9:30. And I do want to say before I forget, hey, Mom, good to see you. Coming your way after church today. And so her birthday is this Wednesday. She turns 96. And I talked to her last night, and she just says, I can't wait to see you. Now, that's just something worth going to see then when she says that. So hopefully be there sometime when it's dark tonight. It's a 9-hour drive to get there. It's also Idella Hispie's birthday. Idella, happy birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to Idella. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Idella. Happy birthday to you. And many more, Idella. Blessings on you and Doug as you, I know he's going to fix you a great noon meal on the grill. Right, Doug? It's done. All right, good. In the bulletin, just want you to know that, you know, we're getting to that point in time where in September, things start getting going a little bit faster here at Harbor of Joy. We have Joy Kids that's going to be starting not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, the 18th. And it starts at 3:30 in the afternoon till 5, and there's going to be supper following that. It's kind of to register the kids for the coming year, and it's also going to kind of be in conjunction with the Wednesday night fellowship. And I believe if it's Barbara Rolf is going to be talking about Wittenberg, Germany. In German, it's always a V. It's when it's a W, they always pronounce it with a V. Wittenberg. I don't know why. That's the way it is. So anyway, they were there. Her and Jim were there here this year. And so I think she's going to show some pictures as well on that Wednesday night. And just talk about, that's where Martin Luther, he was the pastor there and taught at the college that was there as well. It was in Eastern Germany. I've never been there, but should be very interesting with that. So that's not this coming Wednesday, it's the following Wednesday, and you'll hear more about that probably the next Sunday as well. You see some of the other announcements that are in the bulletin. Confirmation is going to start sometime in October. That will be announced when we get closer to that. And then there's Meals on Wheels that we're scheduled to do for the month of October. If that is something that you'd like to do in delivering meals, please sign up for that. And there's a sign up outside the church door for that as well. Yes?
One more announcement. We're going to have choir after church on Sunday, next Sunday. So everybody that wants to sing in the choir, there's a nice little call.
Okay.
Diddy that Amy and I picked out.
Okay. So. One song, right? Doing one song. So it's not a cantata. It's not anything like that. Just one song. Meet today?
After church
today. See, I get that wrong again. Next Sunday. All right. That's three mistakes I've made today, so I should sit down here. I just want to do one more as I get to read this one. It's from Denny and Lynn Kelling's granddaughter who lost their first baby last week. And I talked to Lynn about this and Denny, so I can read what she texted at least to them, and she read it this week, and I said, man, that's too good for not other people to hear. So put in mind, this is a young mother, her first child, and this is what she is writing. These last 9 months have been such a beautiful journey, and the Lord has taught us so much. This baby is so loved, and she knows that the baby that she's carrying, she's in the 9th month, and knows that the baby is dead. And she says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. It is with heavy hearts that Jacob and I announce the arrival of our sweet little girl, Lily. We found out just a few days before her birth that she had already run into the arms of Jesus. In shock and disbelief, we journeyed on, encouraging labor while at home, where we labored before she made her arrival, quite literally upon arrival at the hospital. We had made it to the very end of pregnancy and still continued to ask why and how this happened. Jacob and I are resting in the fact that we may never know the answers to those two burning questions, but we are fully trusting that God knows. This last week and a half, we have walked through the trenches. Losing a child is never something we could have imagined could become part of our story. We were so excited to welcome our sweet baby into this world and had so many dreams of what life would look like. And now we are faced with a very different reality. To all those who have been praying, we feel it. Your prayers are getting us through each day, and we couldn't do this without you. This road is tough, but we are trusting that one day it will be a beautiful story." And that's it. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, there may be even some here today that have gone through something like this at one point in time in their lives, and they can really relate to what she's going through, what they're going through. But we're thankful that we can share this text with everyone here today, because it really shows someone who is grounded in their faith and someone who is looking to Jesus for the hope, not just, you know, answers to questions they know that they'll probably never be answered, but they are waiting and patiently looking to you that one day they know they will be reunited. And things will be so much different then than they are today. So we just pray for them as they go through the loss, as well as with Lynn and Denny. And there's family, and I believe there was even a pastor that drove from Tennessee, drove 5 hours to pray with them before Lily was even born. Lord, we thank you for the way that you bring people into our lives, and sometimes people do things that you'd never expect. But they came. Probably never ever remember the prayers, but maybe they will. But they came, and they were there in a time of need. And so, Lord, there may be times, even here this morning, that people need a touch from you in their lives. It's, birthdays come and birthdays go. It just tells us that we just are 1 year older than what we were yesterday. And we know that time does fly. But Lord, you are our hope, and we trust in you with each and every day that you give to us. So be with our worship today, Lord, as we listen to your still small voice, and however it may come to us today, that we know that you are here with us. And we just thank you for who you are. And be a blessing in using this service today in our hearts and our lives as we have come to hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our responsive reading today, it's called Great Things He Has Done. We don't always know what those great things are. But it says this, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son.
And give him the glory for great things he hath done.
Great things he hath taught us. Great things he has done.
And great are rejoices to Jesus.
But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory for the great things he has done. We'll have a special number today by Craig Holman, who is cool as a cucumber, playing on his trombone. We'll see if you recognize the song. And I'll tell you afterwards what it is. Or maybe I'll ask you what he just played. Oh, there it is. I will not ask you anything. God's blessing on you, Craig.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Lynn, for accompanying him as well. Aren't you glad it's over?
Yes.
Okay. Now you can go and relax with your wife, with your dad, and mom. It's great that you are willing to play like you do, Craig. Thank you so much. When I survey the wondrous cross. That was the name of the song. In case you couldn't read, it was up there. I invite you to stand as we hear where God's message comes from here today. It comes from Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. And it says this. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and, with a deep sigh, said to him, in Aramaic, the word is Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Lord, may your power be here in a way that we too can just say, you do everything well. We've heard of some things that we would say, things didn't go quite so well. But that's human reasoning and human understanding. It's kind of the way we are. So forgive us, Lord, when we don't have the eyes of Jesus and his mindset to look at things in a, probably a different way because of who Jesus is and how he sees things and how he views things. But may we be certain today that, Jesus, you do everything well. Everything. May you have your way in our hearts, in our lives today as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Who do you know that does everything well? Everything. Steve Letcher comes to my mind. Dale Garrels. What's that?
Nancy Letcher.
Nancy Letcher, there we go. Well, Steve taught her all that she does. Maybe not. But when you think of somebody who does everything well, you have different faces that come to your mind, different names that come to your mind. But when it really comes down to it, there's going to be a stumbling block somewhere in there where they run into something, they say, like, I can't do that. I can't do that. To you it sounds simple and easy, but somebody else is going to have to do that. I can't. With Jesus, it's not that way. With Jesus, everything, what he did, everything that he does well. And especially when it comes to fixing people, Jesus does everything well. People that have problems of many different kinds, Jesus can do what no human being can do. So we find in our text today that Jesus has done a little bit of traveling. He starts out on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, and from there he goes from Tyre to Sidon. That's in the area of Phoenicia. Now, if you remember last week, which many of you don't, Phoenicia is where Canaan used to be. Canaan, the Canaanites were there. Jesus walks through that. He goes to the Sea of Galilee, and in the area of Galilee, and then he goes further south on the east side of the Jordan River, and he comes to Decapolis, which just basically means, Deca means what? 10. There's 10 cities. And those 10 cities mainly are made of Gentiles. So he's in a Gentile area. Do Jews and Gentiles get along? They don't. But well, look where Jesus goes. He goes to places where no other Jew would go. And Jesus himself is a Jew. And yet he is God, yes, we know that. But he goes to show us what God would do in life. Only Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark, only he mentions this miracle that we have before us today. You will not find it in Matthew, Luke, or in John. Only in Mark has this account. And as he is in the Decapolis, the place of the 10 cities, we do not know who brought this guy, but this guy cannot really hear, and he cannot speak. And sometimes that goes together. If you're kind of deaf, you have also an impediment in speaking because you just can't hear right, or you don't hear quite as well. And so your speaking is not as proficient as someone who can hear. But what does Jesus do here? Here's a man who is deaf and can hardly talk. We can say he probably stutters. Anybody used to stutter? Or does anybody stutter today? Do you know a guy by the name of Mel Tillis? My name is Mel Tillis. But can that guy sing? He goes this way, way back. Country Western guy. When he sings, he does not stutter. But if he has to talk in any kind of an interview, asking, you know, questions, the guy stutters. I don't even know if he's still alive or not. But I just kind of want you to think a little bit about Mel Tillis, because he's got something in common with this guy here. This guy is brought to him by friends, by people that doesn't say who they are, but they do know who Jesus is, and they know that this guy is a miracle worker. And they just ask, they just kind of plead, they beg with Jesus. You know, just touch this guy so that he can hear, he can stop stuttering, he can be able to talk, because he hasn't been able to do this. We don't know how old he is. We don't know anything else about him other than he's deaf. And he has a very difficult time in talking. So what Jesus does here is outside of the healing box. You would never expect what Jesus does when he does it. We know that sometimes Jesus healed people when there was a crowd of people around. There are other times he takes men away from the crowd, like he did with this guy. He takes him away from the crowd and just wants to be one-on-one with him. Who knows who followed to listen in to see what was going on. But Jesus called him out of that crowd, takes him away from the crowd, and deals with him away from the crowd. We know that Jesus, he healed people sometimes from a distance. There were people who had some kind of a disease or an issue that was going on. And somebody came to Jesus and saying that we know that you can help this person. And Jesus said, well, from this day, you know, he's healed. He's been forgiven. And when they go back, they find out the person's completely different, completely healed. And Jesus did that at a distance. Jesus didn't go to that person. He could heal from a distance. In others, he healed in his presence. One time, he healed a blind man by making mud with what? Spit, yeah. He spit on the ground, made mud with his spit, and then what did he do with the mud? He put it on the eyes of the blind man. Can you imagine that? It was a good thing he was blind. He didn't know what was going on. But after he washed, what happened to that blind man? He could see. Strange stuff. If you went to the doctor and he tells you to do some strange things, would you do it? Or would you say, get out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else. Jesus, what does he do with this man here? When he takes him away from the crowd, what's the first thing he does? Sticks his fingers in the guy's ears. And then he takes one hand out, or maybe takes both hands out, doesn't say. But then Jesus spits. He's got some spittle, not in mud, but on a finger probably, or his hand. And he puts it where? On this guy's tongue. Now, what would you do if I said after the service today, hey, come here. Can I touch your tongue? None of you would do it. You'd think I was nuts. How could the pastor even think of that? He'd want me to touch my tongue with his spit. You know, this guy's not blind. He can see the spit in the hand or the finger that's coming his way. And doesn't say it here, but maybe Jesus said, say, ah, so he could touch the tongue. But Jesus works in mysterious ways, but he does everything well. Everything well. Hear that, Mom? Jesus does everything well, even though you don't like where you're at. You don't like what's going on. And maybe you're here today and you can relate to that as well. You go like, you know, it hasn't been a fun time in my life. It's been a dark time. And here it says Jesus does everything well. What is it that I'm not seeing? What is it that I'm missing? That I cannot honestly say that today, that Jesus does everything well. So I want you to get the whole picture of this scene, and maybe I've done some of it already. But Jesus, first of all, when they come with this guy who's deaf and who can barely talk, Jesus has to get this guy's attention somehow, some way. Maybe it was just this. That communicates something, doesn't it? It says, like, me? Come? And he might go, follow me. I don't know how else he could do it. But the guy can see, he just can't hear. So it would have to be hand signaled. You go, where is Richard Mitski when you need him? And so, but he gets the guy, he communicates enough to the guy where he leaves the crowd, goes with Jesus a little ways away. And, you know, this guy doesn't even know who Jesus is. Why would he go to a complete stranger and listen to a stranger? He'd have some fear, like, what's going to happen next? What's going to go on here? Why does he want me to go follow him or to go where he's at? Be a little uncomfortable. And to just take a complete stranger who's kind of going like this. Yeah, come on. But maybe his face showed that he had nothing to fear. And then the stranger, who's Jesus to this guy, he can see the he's gonna touch his head somehow, somewhere, and he's kind of going like, what is this? He's sticking his fingers in my ear. How many of you would let me do that to you after church today? Hey, can I stick my finger in your ear? Not just one ear, how about both ears? And I'm sure none of you here would want me to do that. I mean, I wouldn't think of doing that anyway. Because some of you probably haven't cleaned your ears for a long time. I don't know. But this guy can see Jesus approaching him, moving his hands, and realizes the fingers are in the ears. How would you respond? How did he respond? I don't know how he responded. It's different. And then he would see Jesus spit, which is no big deal. See somebody spit. But now that spit is coming towards you. It's okay if he puts it on top of my head. It's okay to pat my cheek. Don't put your spit on my tongue. But that's what Jesus does. The guy lets him do this. And Jesus looks up into heaven and he prays and he says in one word, in Aramaic, be opened. Jesus wants to restore you with these same words today. Not only be open, but be released. Be released. What is it that you're holding on to that you just can't let go of? Jesus can help you to release that. It may be sin. Be released from it. Don't carry it around. Let him take that away from you. The trust and the faith of this guy's life and heart, it's phenomenal when you think of it. He lets Jesus do whatever he wants to do, and he has to do that by trusting him and believing in him, that he's got the best in mind. He doesn't know who this guy is. But we do find the outcome. After he lets Jesus touch him and to release him, he can hear like he's never heard before, and he can speak plainly that everyone can understand him. And what does Jesus say to these people? Don't say anything now. And what do they do? How can you not say something about what's just taken place? And the more Jesus would tell them, be quiet, don't say anything, the more the people would talk about it. Very much like we are today, isn't it? They were so amazed in what they said. When it was all kind of said and done, they all agreed, Jesus does everything well. And they had proof in the pudding right before them in this guy. And you imagine them going out telling people, do you know what Jesus did? He stuck his fingers in this guy's ear and he took spit and he hit him on his and touched his tongue with it and he prayed and now he can hear and he can speak fluently. And I bet people go like, yeah, right. I don't believe it. And they try to convince them. That's what Jesus did. When have you tried to convince people who didn't believe that Jesus does everything well? Do you think Jesus was a good golfer? Did the ball ever slice? It's not, what's it goes the other way? Hook, isn't it? A hook and a slice. Was Jesus, would he be able to hit the ball straight and far and putt a birdie all the time? No, it'd be an eagle for him every time. And then he'd say, don't tell anybody I just did an eagle. Yeah, right. How can you not tell people that he hit an eagle? In concluding, you may have ears here today and you may be able to speak fluently. People can understand you when you talk. But have you been personally touched by Jesus Christ and want to tell others about him? That's a big question. You may have been touched by him, but you know, it's kind of like, I really don't want to become known as a religious person and start talking about Jesus Christ. But Jesus does everything well. If our ears are open to listen to the word of the Lord, it ought to affect our tongues and what we say to those around us. Furthermore, only as the church hears the word of God has it really anything worthwhile to say. But it comes back to God's word. As a church, do we know God's word? What it says in the scriptures? Or do you just believe whatever you hear the pastor say over the years? I hope you've not done that. I hope you've checked out the scriptures. And then go to the pastor. If there's something that comes up, you go like, I don't quite understand this, or I heard you say that, and maybe the pastor says, well, you heard wrong. I don't know where you were or what you were thinking about, but I didn't talk anything about that. It's not where I meant it to go. But we'll explain whatever your question will be and show you in God's word where he or she's coming from. Jesus wants to take each and every one of you who's here today, and those of you that are on Zoom, he wants to take you away from the crowd and talk to you privately for the purpose to restore you, whatever that may be, but we know without a doubt he wants to save your soul. He wants you to know that you are forgiven by him. Because he went to the cross and died for you. For all of your sins, past, present, and future. Do you remember a guy by the name of John the Baptist? He was thrown in jail. And when he was in jail, you could just hear him say, like, this isn't supposed to happen. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Things are not supposed to happen to guys that follow Jesus Christ like this. But he had doubts. And he told his own disciples, now you go and find Jesus and you ask him, if he's really the Messiah. You find that in Matthew chapter 11. And so John the Baptist's disciples, they go and they find Jesus. They said, well, John's in jail. Of course, Jesus knew that already. And he's having some doubts here. He's going through some funk in his life. And he just wanted us to ask you, do you know if you're the Messiah or not? Or should he look for someone else? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus responds back to the disciples of John the Baptist. He says, now go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And we find in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 through 6, it says, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, which means they'll be opened. The ears will be opened. And the mutes, the one who cannot speak, and the mute's tongue will shout for joy. It says that in Isaiah. So when they go back and they tell John the Baptist what they see and what they hear, it goes along with what the scriptures say, that he is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, the anointed one. He's here. And what he's done for others, he can do for you, no matter what that is. When you can't hear, usually you cannot talk very well. But there are exceptions. There was a man in Sibley, Iowa, by the name of Larry. So when I was a chaplain, I would go and have to visit Larry. Larry was deaf. So I'm going like, how do I communicate with this guy? But he had a whiteboard, a little whiteboard that I could write questions on or different things to communicate with him. It'd take a while, but he could talk back as plain as anyone who could hear. And I'm going like, how can you be deaf? And yet you can answer and speak perfect language to my questions. And he had a grandson who was in the seminary, very proud of him, who was going to be a pastor. And when I'd get my time with Larry, I'd go to his room and get the whiteboard and start writing questions and holding them up, and he'd read them out loud, or he'd read them, and then he'd think, and then he would answer. I could understand perfectly. I'm going like, this doesn't make any sense. He's really deaf. What a man he was. I received more of a blessing from him than what I could ever do in return with him. And I always left his room just shaking my head, going like, I can't believe it. He was a believer in Jesus Christ as well. He understood how good God was, that Jesus does everything well. And he's not with us anymore. He died. And he was a farmer. And he raised hogs. And he grew corn. That's what you do in Iowa. But a great man that God used in my life. And maybe you know of others that God has used in your life as well. Jesus does everything well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times that we complain. Forgive us for just talking about our woes and being so negative all the time. And I include myself in that. May we just come to your throne of grace and say, Lord, here I am. I love you. I know you've forgiven me of my sins, but I don't understand a lot of stuff that's going on in my life, or why I'm being treated the way that I'm being treated. But I know one day you'll take care of all that stuff. I put it in your hands. So we thank you for what is said in our text today, if it comes from your word, that others would always say that Jesus does everything well. He could do anything and everything. And he did it well. May we not forget that. Just use that little statement in a powerful way in our lives here today. And we might have to say, Lord, I have a hard time believing this, but I do trust your word where it says that you do everything well. I got some problems with that, but if that's what your word says, then that's what I want to believe. Will you help me to believe this in my own heart and my own life? So Jesus asked his disciples, who asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said this. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. Notice it says, I. It's what I believe. It's not what we believe. It's what I believe. It's personal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord go with you. May his face shine upon you. May you know that you are his child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our closing song, God Be With You. Be with you till we meet again. God, his counsel's gonna hold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God, be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you, till we meet again. Go in peace and serve the Lord.